Have your Bible, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, because our account today can only be found here in Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. We've followed the sermon that he's been given, and Mount Olivet. A couple of questions have been asked of the Lord. Let's pray, and then we'll look at those two questions. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for this opportunity to examine even when you will come again. Just bless us now, we pray. Give us wisdom and understanding. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're here in Matthew chapter 24. And the Lord went out of the temple. He went out to the Mount of Olives. Now look at verse 3. And when he was sat down there at the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Well, the Lord then begins to instruct them as to when these things shall be, what's going to be the sign of his coming. And immediately he talks about false teachers. One of the signs, false teachers, and we've said, man, there's always been false teachers, and that's true. Also, he mentioned that there were going to be nations rising up against nation, and that there were going to be just earthquakes and pestilence. And well, again, we say these things have been since all time, so we know that, you know, that his coming could be at any time. He also then talked about the great abomination of desolation there in verse 15. We talked about this seems to be like the middle of the time of the tribulation. The first 3.5 years of tribulation going to be bad, but not as bad as the last 3.5 when the false prophet will just place himself in the temple and order worship of him and desecrate the temple. And then he goes on and he talks about the aspect that they were to flee when they see these things coming, not wait around, just get out of there because the judgment was going to be severe upon those who were unbelievers. And then we even talked about that in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light. There's going to be all kinds of cosmic problems and so forth. And he mentioned, watch the fig tree. You can learn, just as you know when the fig tree is going to be given fruit, so you should be able to tell when these things are going to, when my coming will occur. But look at verse 36. Let's make this perfectly clear. He says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And then he speaks about how they're going to come like in the days of Noah. People are going to be eating and drinking, not paying any attention. But boy, when they come, they're going to come and come quickly. And that's the aspect that he is emphasizing. He talks about, two are going to be in the field, two men, two women grinding at the millstone. And one's going to be taken, one's going to be left. Now, one's taken into judgment, the others, the Christians will be left behind to go into the millennial time of the Lord and with the Lord. Now, that brings us to verse 42. So what would be his admonition to them, having shared with them these thoughts? What would be the Lord's admonition to them? And watch what he says. Look at the very first word, and now you also see it on your sheet. The very first word is watch. Therefore, watch. Watch, therefore. Why? For you know not what hour the Lord doth come. You don't know the hour. You don't know the day, he had told us back in verse 36. You don't know the day. You don't know the hour. But will there be signs for those individuals that the time is growing closer? And the answer is what? Yes. Yes, there will be some signs. Jesus coming, but nobody knows his the precise coming except for the Father. Look with me now at verse 43. How does Jesus exhort them to watch? Now, he told them to watch, but how does he exhort them to watch? Like a good man. He says this, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in which watch the thief would come, he'd have done a couple of things. He would have watched, and you know what else? He would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Now, goodman of the house, that's the way it's translated four times. Also notice householder, also notice master of the house, the one who's been put in charge of taking care of the household, all right? And if this one who had been placed to watch over the house, why, if he knew the hour or, you know, that the general, because he uses the word watch. Now, how many watches were there in a night? Three, yeah. So he said, okay, now you know the general time of his coming. You'd been ready, because remember, he says, you don't know the day, you don't know the hour. But you can, by the signs, know a general coming, time of the coming of the Lord. Well, if this goodman, if this master of the house was watching and knowing and doing, hey, I've heard that the thief is going to try to break in tonight. Well, he'd have been ready for him. Now, what do you think the phrase would not have suffered his house to be broken up? What's that mean? All right, that could be the aspect about witnessing. But what else might that mean? Would not have suffered his house to be broken up. How are they going to get in? Door, window, or many of them had around, you know, a wall around it. You'd have to go either through it or under it. And the idea is that here is one going to be trying to tunnel in, and you better be ready, watching for that, the whole aspect. Now, what's Jesus' exhortation to his listeners here in verse 44? Therefore, here we go. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So the admonition for those who are living in that time is to be watching. Because there are some general signs that they should be looking for. Signs that we've already talked about. There are some general signs, man, you can have an approximate thought that, man, he could come. He could be coming. Although you may not know the exact day, you may not know the exact hour, be ready. There's the admonition, be ready. Now, he gives us a lesson on the faithful servant who is watching and the unfaithful servant who is not watching. And he's making the presumption that those who are living in this time, perhaps even those who he's speaking to, are either faithful servants or unfaithful servants. All right, for example, let's take a look at verse 45. What does Jesus exhort them to watch? Or excuse me, how does Jesus exhort them to watch? Like a faithful and wise servant. He says, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his house to give them meat in due season? All right, so we find a little bit about what a faithful and wise servant will be doing in this verse. And what would you say that a faithful and wise servant will be doing? Watching. All right, what else will they be doing? Now watch, he's talking about this wise and faithful servant. He's the one who's been made ruler over his house, all right? Say what now, Bonnie? All right, get the house. All right, okay, house in order. What else? Looking for the signs, yes. But there's a phrase, another phrase right there. Faithful, yeah. How is it? I guess what I'm looking for is how does this one demonstrate that they're faithful? How do they demonstrate that they're wise? What are they doing? Prayer? No, definitely be prayer. Oh, being prepared. Okay, yes. And how are they being prepared? That's what I'm trying to draw out of. There's a phrase here in this verse. By ruling over their household, right, to give them meat in due season. What is he doing? He's taking care of, he's making sure that those in the household are what? Are taken care of, that they're being fed, that they're being clothed, that they're ready. Now, we think about that. Now, you know, what is, you know, what's the role of a husband? We talked about this just recently. You know, that he is the aspect about purifying his family, you know, for the Lord's coming, but also the aspect of protecting, nourishing, and cherishing. All right, having that whole aspect. Well, here's what we're seeing here is that those who are faithfully ministering to those who are under them are wise and faithful. Now, whether it's one person, two person, three person, who, if you're ministering unto them with the mind, the mindset is what? My big master could come at any time and hold me in account. He is going to find me faithfully serving those who are under me. All right? Now, what are we talking about? Pastor, we're talking about a husband, we're talking about a wife and the children. You can keep right on going down. Now, next, on the very bottom, verse 46. What will happen to the faithful and wise servant when the Lord comes again? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So doing what? Ruling well over that which God has made him the authority. All right? That he's going to bless that one who is faithfully ministering with the mindset, hey, my master can come at any time, and when my master comes, he's going to hold me accountable. Let me ask you something. Now, he's projecting ahead that, you know, but we have got to understand, when Jesus comes, will Christians be judged? And the answer is, yes. We're going to be judged. Will the unbelievers stand before the great white throne? Yes. There's a judgment for everybody. So we say, well, we're not part of this because, you see, that they're talking about in the very end days when Jesus comes again. But the aspect is when we are judged, and we all will be judged, we have to give an account. And we're going to read on when we get over here a little later in chapter 25, some of the things that a Christian ought to be doing. Because that, we'll see a little bit more clearer, but you can imagine in your mind, what should we be doing? Now, up at the top of page 2, how will the Lord bless this faithful and wise servant? Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Okay, now what might this include? Because here he's got a wise and faithful servant, he's over the house, but now he's saying he's going to make him over all his goods. What would that include? What might that include? If we're just talking about this goodman, if we're just talking about this one right back at this time, how might the Lord bless this one? This faithful and wise servant. How is he going to make him over all his goods? He's already over his household, so what else does he have? Everything else. Because he's had over the house. Now he's going to allow him to have authority over. And you remember the passage where he talks about those who are faithful in small things, God is going to make him rule over many things. So when we say, well, I'm just a lowly individual, this is the only authority I have, this is my only role. Well, God promises us if we'll fulfill our role, we're going to be ruler over more. If you say, well, I'm only a ruler over one city, then God will make you ruler over two cities or more. And this is what he's saying. Now, I said, what might this include for God's faithful and wise Christians? And you've probably had some other readings that may come to your mind. And I've already given you kind of a hint on one. But how might Christians in the day of judgment, how are they going to be, how might they be blessed? You know, any other readings or any other thoughts come to your mind? Scriptures? One I already mentioned. One about cities. If you had a few, you're going to be ruler over many. Okay. What was you saying? Crown. All right. Many crowns. All right. That's another aspect. Good. All right. Any other thoughts you want to get? All right. Now, so hey, that's the wise. But, and if, now we come to verse 48, okay. Now we're going to talk about that unfaithful servant. And I ask you a question. What does the evil servant say in his heart? But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Now remember what all this is about. Hey, well, how do we know when you're going to come? All right, that was how it started. And the Lord now is telling him, giving him these signs. And he's saying, listen, you need to be ready. And you need to be ready. You need to be watching, okay? And but now you got a servant, and he's saying in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. So I ask you a question. What was his conversation like? Got any thoughts? What he might be saying to himself? Because he's saying it in his heart. How might he, can you think of a phrase that, now we know generally what he's saying. Hey, my Lord delayeth his coming, but can you think of something that they might say? All right, Joe. I got plenty of time. That's a good phrase. Hey, the boss is gone for a week. You know, when the boss is away, the mice will play. Or okay, whatever. Okay, what else might a phrase be? That you could imagine someone saying with the concept that, hey, my Lord delayeth his coming. All right. Hey, I can take it easy. That's, you know, I can relax. Any other phrases? All right. Now, you know, and of course I said that might have been his conversation. What might our conversation be like when we're insinuating that our Lord delayeth his coming? How about in Peter? What were the false teachers saying? Hey, take a look. Things remain the same. Hello? Look around. Has he come? He hasn't come. So even Christians can think, well, it won't be in my generation. It might be in the next generation, but it won't be in mine. Verse 49. What does the evil servant do? We see what he's thinking in his heart. My Lord delayeth his coming. But so what does this servant, evil servant, do with this heart? You remember we talked about, you know, as a heart thinketh, a man, what? Doeth, something like that, all right? Well, what's the servant doing? And, watch, he shall say up in the verse before, but now he shall begin to what? Smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. All right? Let's have a flashback to verse 37. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What were they doing in the days of Noah? They were eating and drinking. Now, so what was his behavior like? You want to describe with a word or two? Say it again. Rest, like the rest of the world, okay. What was it? Careless, okay. Carefree, eat, drink, and be merry, yeah. Carefree. I mean, that's their attitude. And but also we see that, what was he doing to his fellow servants? Instead of taking care of them, being concerned for their food and for their shelter, like a good servant will be, he was doing what? He was hurting them, smiting them, beating them, angry, just an angry spirit. And so, you know, he's just mistreating his fellow servants. While he's mistreating them, he's indulging him, his what? His self. He's eating and he's drinking. So who is he focusing on? Yeah, himself. He's taking care of what he perceives as his own needs or wants. Now, you know, what's our behavior like? Are we fulfilling our stewardship is the penetrating question. And what are some things as God's servants we should be doing? Just take a look, thinking about what the evil servant wasn't doing. Can you imagine what some things that we should be doing? Well, we should be ministering to our what? Our fellow what? Yeah, our fellow servants. We should be ministering to them. Now, interesting, as we get into chapter 25, the railing accusation Christ is going to give against them is that, you know, when I was sick, you were nowhere around. You know, when I was in prison for righteousness' sake, you didn't come to visit me. You know, you didn't minister to these who had a need. And they scratched their heads and said, Lord, what are you talking about? When did we not do these things? We can't. And they said, well, you know, and the fact that you didn't do it to the least of these. You didn't do it to me. So you see, there are some aspects of seeing as God's servants, we should be ministering to our fellow servants. Now, when shall the Lord come? Verse 50. Well, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him. He shall come in an hour that he is not aware of. All right? But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. Verse 36. He's saying, the Lord said to that servant, man, I'm coming. I'm coming when he was not looking for him, when you're not aware. So I ask you this question. Well, what do you think the servant is thinking about? Well, we kind of talked about that already, but maybe one last thought. The aspect of when you know that he's not looking for him, and the aspect that that he's just not aware. What thought might be coming? Well, it could be any thought, right? Any thought but that Jesus is coming. The thought might be, hey, how am I going to get this? How am I going to get that? Who can I hurt to get? I might have to climb over so-and-so to get this. But it will be a thought that definitely would be very selfish, self-serving. Now, what shall the Lord do to him? Now, we saw what he did to the righteous one, the one who was just, the one who was faithful and wise. We saw that he was going to bless them. Well, how about this one who was unfaithful? Well, we read this, and he shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, so I ask you a question. Where will they be put? When you read the phrase, and there shall be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. And look at some of these references. Come back with me. And we're just in Matthew. I'm making it easy for you. Matthew 8, Look at verse 12. Ah, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right. Flip over me to verse 13. Look, same chapter, verse 13. And, we got a couple of verses here, don't we? Oh, excuse me. Chapter 13 it is. Chapter 13, verse 36. And there we read, and Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Oh, the enemy that sold them is the devil. Harvest is at the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. Oh, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So, one more reference. Also, look at verse 50. There's verse 50. And they shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, notice that the fire is closely connected to weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, chapter 22. Chapter 22 says this. Verse 13. 22:13. Then said the king to the servants, bind them hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So now, outer darkness, fire, and chapter 24, verse 51 says this, 24:51, and shall be cut asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And now once more, chapter 25, verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, so where will these individuals be put? In hell, all right? And we talked about this before. Here's hell portrayed as fire, and yet darkness. Now, only God can do something like that. Fire and darkness. And that's what hell is portrayed as. And that is where, of course, the ungodly will be placed. Well, of course, the question we ask ourselves as we close this thing up, well, where am I going to be put? You know, when he comes again, am I going to be that faithful and wise servant, or am I that unfaithful and unjust servant? Well, look at your questions here in the back. What did we learn anything about our triune God in these verses? What did we learn about God's desire? What would we say about God's desire as we read these verses? His desire is that his children, that all people should be what? Looking up, watching. Watching. I mean, that's an admonition for everybody. And how does God want us to watch? Like a what? We had the two contrasts. He wants us to watch like a faithful and wise servant. All right? We saw this is what we found out about our God. And what do we find about our God? Is going to reward those who are faithful and bring retribution to those who are unfaithful. So these are some things that we learned about our God in these verses, all right? Now, do we learn anything about mankind? Well, they need to be Mankind needs to be what? Faithful. They need to be faithfully watching, for sure, yes. And God's faithful servants, as they're faithfully watching, should be faithfully doing, serving, ministering in the lives of others. All right, that's what he's calling on us to do. All right, so we look at that and we say, okay, and we also be mindful that those who are unfaithful, they're going to experience retribution from the Lord. Now, all right, we read these verses. How might they change our behavior? How might they change the behavior of anyone? All right, should, yes. I'm purposing to be more alert, knowing that's what the Lord desires of me, to be more alert, watching. Because he's speaking these words to his disciples. Were they going to be alive at his coming? No. But he's still telling them to be watching. And that's why, because everybody is going to be either judged as a faithful, wise servant or a unfaithful, unwise servant. Everybody's going to be judged. So these words say, because this is purposing for us. We need to be watching that he's coming, but while we're watching, we ought to be working. And you'll see that the theme of many of his parables. It'll be, as we go through here, you'll see, yeah, you ought to watch, but while you're watching, you ought to be working. Because those who work are going to be rewarded. And, look, because I desire to be rewarded at Jesus' coming, you know what? I purpose to be faithfully what? Watching and working for his coming. And, of course, we could put the opposite side, too. Because I don't want to be appointed to hell, I purpose to examine my salvation and make sure that I'm in the faith. Well, all right. Anybody want to add a P.S. to these verses that we've looked at here this morning? Joe. Amen. So, all of us ought to just purpose, you know what? I'm going to strive to serve my Lord more faithfully even this coming week. Heavenly Father, that would be our prayer this morning, that you would bless us not only with the desire but with the doing of your good pleasure, that as we would find ourselves working out our salvation by serving you, by serving others, that, Lord, you would be richly pleased with us. And, Lord, because of being pleased with us, you would reward us accordingly. We would just thank you. We just praise you, Lord, for the opportunities that you give to us to serve you. We just ask you now to be with us as we turn our attention to the morning worship service. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.